Good morning. Every well-told story has more than one thread to its plot line, more than one level of meaning. I think the gospel reading this morning is a good example. I think what Mark was primarily aiming at when he put this story in this place in his gospel was the way it contributes to his primary plot line, the gradual revelation of who is Jesus. It's clearly a dramatic step forward in this regard. I mean, the scribes are right. Who can forgive sins except God alone? Therefore, if Jesus is forgiving sins and validating it by curing the guy, then he must be exercising divine power. That doesn't mean doctrine of the Trinity. It doesn't even mean Jesus is Son of God. We don't get to that to the very end of the gospel. But it's a step along the road. Who is this who exercises power that properly belongs to God? Who gave this man this authority? Exactly who is he? But there's also a second line running through here that I'd like to devote a little more attention to this morning. And that's the plot line about discipleship. We've already seen that that's sort of a secondary line that runs all the way through Mark. If this is who Jesus is, then who should we be? I think another small anonymous disciple is at work here, or actually four of them, just like Peter's mother-in-law in the earlier story. These four guys who come carrying the paralytic, I mean, that's an act of faith. And that's an act of concern for their brother, carrying him along. I mean, it's hot out there, they're sweating, it's tired, but they bring him. But then when they get there, they see this crowd. Now, in an act of practically infinite athleticism and even more infinite chutzpah, they climb up on the roof, hoist this guy up onto the roof after them, and then unthatch the roof of somebody else's house. I mean, this question about Jesus, who gave you this authority? Can you hear that one? Who gave you the authority to unthatch my roof? It's going to rain in here. What are you guys doing? But they have the chutzpah to do this, to bring their friend to Jesus. And Jesus forgives him and cures him. Now the question is, can we be like that? Isn't that part of discipleship? Part of the lesson about what it means to be a disciple? We're not terribly comfortable with that thought, are we? Largely from our own experience. Because most of the experience we've had with that sort of thing is people beating us over the head with a Bible and rather arrogantly assuming that if we do not believe exactly what they believe and live exactly the way they live, we're all going to go to hell. And that's an instant turnoff for you, for me, and just about everybody else. And we don't want to be like that. So because we don't want to be like that, we back away from the whole idea. And we keep our faith something private that we share only in the family, either our own family at home or a parish family here, but not so much to other people. And certainly not so much to invite other people to think about joining. But maybe we should. You don't have to become a Bible thumper. You don't have to knock people over the head with your God. But you can look for opportunity. There are opportunities out there. And when you see one, quietly, discreetly, share your faith and see if it helps. It can occur at all ends of the spectrum. There's an opportunity when somebody you know feels really crushed. It doesn't matter what they feel crushed by. But when they feel like the weight of life is unsupportable, and they have more burden than they can bear, and you sit down, listen to them. Never speak before you've listened. You don't have all the answers. That's one of the things that drives the Bible thumpers that drives us away. You know, they want to tell us what the answer is before they've listened to the question. Listen to the question. What kind of pain is this person in? What kind of weight are they carrying? And then empathize. Talk about the times that you've been in, not that situation. Nobody ever knows what somebody else is feeling because nobody has ever been there. But you've been in similar places and you felt similar things. Share it. And then talk about the way that your faith had gave you the strength to get through it. That your belief in God and your belief specifically in Jesus God gave you what you needed to survive when you didn't think you could, to get through when you didn't think the way was there. It's an invitation. Maybe they'll take it, maybe they won't. But it's an invitation. The same opportunity arises at the other end. When people are very happy, very full of themselves. They've been pursuing the consumer lifestyle, and they've got it. They got the big promotion. They got the big house. They got the IRA, you know, that's out of this world. They're talking about how everything they've got everything. Listen. Congratulate them. Rejoice with them. But get them talking. And after a while, you're going to hear something like, is that all there is? Because American consumerism is not so much evil as it is incredibly hollow. There's no there there. When you've got it all, and you turn around and say, is that all there is? That's an opportunity. Talk to them. After you've listened to them, talk to them. Talk to them about the way your faith has made a difference in your life, about how contributing to God's plan is more satisfying than contributing to your IRA, about how it feels better to be a part of something than to take advantage of something, how it's more satisfying to be with people than to get over on people. There's more contentment in accomplishment than accumulation. And how the whole divine plan from creation up to consummation gives a context to your life that makes it a lot richer than just having it all. Maybe they'll listen. Maybe they won't. Some people will, some of the time. These are real opportunities for us. Look around, be sensitive, you'll see more than those couple. Don't go roaring out here to beat people over the head with your Bible. You wouldn't do it anyway, and I'm not suggesting it. All that does is drive people away. But have a little chutzpah. Be willing to take some chances. Be willing to climb up on the roof and unthatch somebody else's roof to bring people to God, to bring people to Christ, to bring people to themselves, to bring people to a sense of what life is about, to bring people to share the good things that make life worthwhile for you. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.